The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
Hey, good morning. You're in the Breakfast Huddle. Elliot Danka and Glenn Van Zutphen are with you. Traditionally, investors evaluated their performance based on financial measures alone. But investing with an eye to environmental or social issues, not just financial returns, that's become mainstream in the past decade. But the question really is, what counts as sustainable investment in the first place?
Exactly. Where do you draw the line with normal investments that that one might make? Well, to help us here today is Tiff Macklem, is currently the chair of the Government of Canada's Expert Panel on Sustainable Finance. His day job is the dean of the Rotman School of Management at the University of Toronto. Welcome today, Tiff.
Good morning. Pleasure to be here.
You've got an interesting resume. You were previously the senior deputy governor of the Bank of Canada. You also served as associate deputy minister of the Federal Department of Finance, Canada's finance deputy at the G7 and G20, the IMF, and the Financial Sustainability Board, serving in those roles during the last global financial crisis.
Tiff, you just don't get out enough. I mean, really.
Wow.
You need to try to achieve a little bit more in your life.
Well, that brought me to my first trip here to Singapore, 2006 IMF meetings.
It's a
real pleasure to be back.
Great.
So, we're grateful that you've taken the time to come to the studio today. Could you help us, Tiff, start off by defining sustainable finance? What is it? And explain a little about your passion behind sustainable finance.
Well, thanks for the opportunity. Sustainable finance, I think one of our key messages is you need to think of it fairly broadly. What do financial markets do? They channel people's savings to productive investments. So a big part of sustainable finance is channeling savings to productive investments that will have sustainable outcomes, okay, supporting the economy's pivot to cleaner growth. Another key element is helping businesses and households manage new climate risks. You know, we are seeing, you know, back in Canada right now, there are big spring floods. Mm. Those are supposed to happen once every 50 years. Now they're happening every couple of years.
Yeah.
That means new risks for households, which requires new types of insurance products to help households and businesses manage new climate risks. And ultimately, you also want that insurance industry to help mitigate those risks. So you want to think of it both as helping the economy pivot to cleaner growth, but also helping adapt to more extreme weather that is going to happen.
Is it not also kind of a fuller scope, a fuller view of integrated investing, banking, insurance, like pulling it all together from that perspective, not just only about perhaps current weather issues or other things?
Yes, I think you've put your finger on it. One of our key messages is that there has actually been a lot of activity. The green bond market, for example, is growing rapidly. But given the scale of the investments that are required to get to cleaner growth and to mitigate the effects of climate change or adapt to them, there needs to be a lot more investment. Our key message is we really need to get sustainable finance into the mainstream of the financial system. You know, one way to put it is, you know, we don't need sustainable finance. We need finance to be sustainable. All finance should be sustainable.
Sure.
And I would just add, you know, finance is not going to solve climate change. Climate change is going to be solved by innovations, changes in behavior. Mm-hmm. But finance has a key role in supporting that transition. You know, one thing I sometimes say is, like, what gets financed is what gets done.
Mm. So sort of at the same time, bearing in mind and sort of redefining what, in more layman terms, you would define as an act of God, now is a little bit different because it happens so much more often. But just to add to that, you also had this panel that you chaired last year, and that was tasked with outlining steps that Canada can take to reduce climate risk exposure in the markets and financial institutions. Could you tell us a little bit more about that and where we're at right now?
So as you mentioned, we put out an interim report in last October. We're actually right now drafting our final report. It should come out end of May, perhaps early June. And it will have a series of recommendations for the Government of Canada. But in many respects, many of the recommendations really are for the private sector. And as you were saying, it's really about all elements of the financial sector, the banking industry, the insurance industry, the asset management industry. And so there will be a series of recommendations really about how to scale up sustainable finance. And also we'll talk about some products and markets that will be particularly important in the Canadian context.
Any gaps at the moment that you could share with us?
A couple of, I think, places to start. As I mentioned, the green bond market is growing a lot. That's a big bond market. I think there are opportunities to, you know, one of the things we're seeing is that those issues globally are heavily oversubscribed. In other words, demand is bigger than supply. They're being snapped up quickly, but they tend to be a buy and hold market, so it's not very liquid. So efforts to try to deepen the liquidity of that market would be helpful. Something I think be important in the Singaporean context as well as the Canadian is clean tech. As I mentioned, As I mentioned, innovation is going to be a big part of the solution to climate change. It has to be. Sitting here in Singapore, you are pivoting to a more innovation-led economy. And clean tech offers, you know, not only opportunities to solve your climate issues here in Singapore, but it's a potentially huge export market to Singapore, to Asia, dealing with climate change issues in Asia. But financing tech is tough. There's a lot of risk.
Yeah.
It has all the normal – clean tech has all the normal challenges of tech that, you know, will the technology work? Will somebody get there first and scoop up that market before you get there? And some of clean tech is sort of traditional – tech-type investment, things like smart thermostats. But some of clean tech requires building a physical plant, a physical scaled prototype plant.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to create a big battery storage or an ethanol electricity generating plant. You need to create a scale facility. That, you know, needs $25, $50, $100 million to get that. Mm-hmm. That requires patient capital. And it's too big for typical VC seed investors. And it's too risky for a lot of bigger institutional investors. So it's in that sort of mid spot, sometimes called the valley of death. And so there, you know, there may be a need for some public-private partnerships, some blended finance. And actually, you know, looking at Singapore, you have a very sophisticated financial system. You have a very cooperative model. Strikes me that's somewhere where Singapore could lead.
We're speaking with Tiff Macklem here in the studio, current chair of the Government of Canada's Expert Panel on Sustainable Finance and the dean of the Rotman School of Management at the University of Toronto. Tiff, you mentioned this integrating, you know, these different parts of the finance industry to come together to solve these problems and look at these issues. A couple of questions. One, why has there been pushback to this point to do that? And secondly, what can Singapore learn from what you've been working on to avoid some of those pitfalls or to avoid some of that pushback and to drive forward? I mean, you mentioned public-private partnerships and things, which Singapore has already been doing in some cases. But what are some of the other challenges and, let's say, the solutions for those challenges?
I wouldn't say there's so much pushback. I would say it's you know, financial services is driven by opportunity. And I think different parts of the financial system are seeing the opportunity at a different pace.
Mm-hmm.
So if you start with the property and casualty insurance industry, they are certainly the most advanced. And it's a simple reason. They have experienced a very large increase in claims due to increased weather-related events.
Right.
So that's an immediate bottom-line issue that's front and center on the CEO's desk. And so they are investing a lot in getting better information on how to effectively price and underwrite insurance contracts.
Mm-hmm.
They are developing new products to help households and businesses manage new climate risks. I would say that, you know, the next most advanced part of the financial system would be asset managers, particularly long horizon asset managers, because they need to think about the possibility of stranded assets. They need to think about the fact that climate change is going to affect virtually every sector of the economy. And if you've got a 30-year investment horizon, you know, there's uncertainty about the pace of climate change, but we know over the next 30 years, it's going to be significant.
It's going to happen, sure.
I think the challenge in the asset management industry is how do you drive it down to the actual portfolio managers that are making those investment choices? And there have been some interesting approaches taken by some leaders, for example, giving each portfolio manager a carbon budget. Just like they have a risk budget, give them a carbon budget.
Okay.
And then I would say that where there's probably the least advanced but the most scope is in the banking sector. And there, you have to realize banks' books are relatively short, 3 to 5 years. They're not really worried about stranded assets.
Yeah.
I think what you're seeing in banks, though, particularly now with many banks, large global banks, signing on to the task force of climate-related disclosures, you're starting to see them get more organized.
Okay.
There's been a lot of activity. It's starting to become more strategic, and I think that's going to be, given the important role banks play in the economy, that's going to be something that we all want to encourage.
Tiff, to wrap up, we talk about how, you know, climate change is more apparent, 20 years, 30 years. How far are we from turning this topic that we've generically called sustainable finance into finance. How far are we from this becoming the new norm in that sense?
Well, that's exactly what we want. And I think over the next 5 to 10 years, you are going to see that happen. You know, interestingly, just in the year since we started this project, we have observed a big change. We are starting to see across the financial system, this is becoming a much more strategic issue. It's much more, you know, now at the top of the house of many financial institutions.
This morning we've been speaking with Tiff Macklem, chair of the Government of Canada's Expert Panel on Sustainable Finance. He is also the dean of the Rotman School of Management at the University of Toronto. Tiff, thank you so much for taking the time to join us this morning.
A real pleasure.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.